On this episode of the Garden of Eden podcast, we talk about performative activism and why it's not the Black community's duty to educate you on systematic racism and oppression. If you like the Garden of Eden podcast and want to see us grow, share it with a friend. Follow us on Apple Podcasts and leave a rating and review. You can also subscribe on Spotify. Without further ado, let's jump into today's episode.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Garden of Eden podcast. My name is Eden.
And I'm Jessica.
Hi, Jessica.
Hey, girl. Hey.
Hey, I think we're just going to jump right in where we left off last week and talk about performative activism.
Performative activism as a whole. I think, I don't know if we want to talk about this. If not, you guys will never hear this part. But just an influx of requests for Black teachers to be on certain platforms, or an increase of different students than we typically experience practicing with us. But it doesn't seem like I'm opening up my horizon, or I'm broadening my horizons to new teachers. It's like, check mark, I practice with a Black person. Yay, me. Let me post about it on Instagram. Then I go back to practicing with my slim white teachers that I always practice with, kind of situations that I've been noticing as an influencer. Oh, I hate that word, but you know.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Words are only as powerful as we make them, and it's annoying because people don't have respect for influencers. but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think it's important that we talk about performative activism, and that was definitely the phrase I was looking for. I couldn't find it. but yeah, definitely an influx of I think folks trying to check off a box on their list of what they should be doing as an ally, which fine, okay, fine, whatever. But I definitely think that's a thing. I've seen it. My inbox has been out of fucking control. So I know it's a thing. But then on the other hand of that, just to kind of be more open, I think that there are some folks who are genuinely thirsty for the perspective and just hadn't really been challenged or thought about it. I feel like this institutionalized racism, where we see it in every faucet of life, whether it be in our, you know, political world, the wellness world, economically, it's, once you see it, once your eyes have been open as like a non-person of color, it's like you can't unsee it. And I think that a lot, it's like that butterfly effect where people are starting to understand it and like open it up and diagnose it from every different aspect of their life. And so I'm starting to see some people are having that awakening where they're just now getting it, and good. Like, this is the work. Awesome. But yes, there are quite a few people that are being performative, and it's weird. It's weird, right? Mm-hmm. Some people are genuinely getting it, and some people it feels very forced.
Yeah, it's the difference between the people that you see protesting, and then you get the second perspective of someone in the protest filming influencers just showing up for pictures in the protest.
Yeah.
But from that influencer's page, it looks like they're out protesting. But from that other person's lens, you see that it was a performance.
Right.
So I guess just evaluate if you're the performer or not. And if you're not a performer and you are really learning and you're really absorbing, and I know a lot of people are really, they're like personally hurt that they didn't know everything that was happening. We see all that you're doing, but also realize that Black people don't owe you a thanks or anything for it. Because I have a lot of people in my inbox, and I feel like I respond most of the time, but people coming up with a list of Black instructors, which is fantastic, or they want to tell me all that they've learned. Black people already have enough like trauma and burden that they can't always respond to you to thank you for taking the time to learn. And if you are truly invested in change, you shouldn't feel the need to be thanked or acknowledged for what you're doing when all Black Americans want is equality.
Absolutely. And then also kind of just looping back to what you said about like performative versus action, like, are you proud of what you're doing? Like, that's all it boils down to. Are you being your genuine self? Are you proud of what you're doing? And are you doing it for the cause? Or are you doing it for recognition? You know what I mean? Like, yeah. if you're doing it for recognition and you're one of those people that are like, oh, look, it give me a gold star. It's disingenuous. And also it's like you're centering your fucking self. Get the fuck out of this, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's right up there with people feeding homeless folks on the street and then, like, putting it on YouTube, right?
Yeah,
like, I hate exactly. that shit. I hate that shit so much.
Yeah. I've noticed a lot of white people just making this about them, about what they're doing, about how they feel so sad about this, as if their guilt is going to fix it.
Or, like, people not wanting to take that guilt, like, not wanting to acknowledge their privilege. It's like several people that I've personally not known or gone to school with, I've had these, like, really intense conversations with, these back and forth conversations where they can't take their feelings out of what Black Lives Matters means. One particular girl that I have known since I was like 11 or 12, like, we got into it about this, and her whole thing was like, oh, does this mean just because I'm white, like, I don't deserve anything that I worked for? Like, I just had, like, a free pass. And I'm like, no, that's not what it means. But if you are not open to understanding, if you're going to come into this defensive right off the bat, you are going to find every piece of evidence to back you up, and you are going to completely shut down any argument to the contrary. You don't want to listen. You can't get over your hurt feelings. And let me tell you something. Hurt feelings do not equate an attack.
Yeah. Or a death.
Right.
Or...
And I hear so much, oh, you're attacking me. And I'm like, reading over this conversation, no insult, no attack. Like, this is a fact. This is a truth. Does it hurt your feelings? Does it make you feel bad? Does it make you see your privilege or the unfair advantage you've had? If yes, then let's work together and change this. Like, don't internalize it like I'm trying to say you're a shitty person. That's not what this is about. Like, grow up. Put your big adult person pants on, you know what I mean? And get out of this. I feel like it's very childish.
Yeah. And I think that's what I was kind of getting at when I was saying, like, if you're in someone's inbox, don't expect a response. I think that I've intentionally avoided a lot of those conversations. Like, every Black person in America, I think every one of your white friends kind of hit you up as soon as all of this happened. And I got so many messages. You want to grab a coffee? You want to grab a socially distant lunch? And my response to everyone was no. To be completely honest, there's nothing I'd want to do less than meeting up with you to talk about racism. I love you, but no. And that was my answer. That was my answer to everyone. They're like, hey, girl, hope you're doing okay. I know all this shitty stuff is happening in the world. Police are killing Black people. Do you want to get together for lunch and talk about it? No, I absolutely do not want to get together with you and talk about racism. And if I'm saying that to the people in my actual life, I'm not answering your DM about it either, is what I mean. It's too much. It's emotionally taxing. Talk to your white friends about it. You guys read a book and then get together and discuss after. Consult the Black activists that are open to educating you about it, but your Black friend is tired.
Oh, and then also pay them. Like,
exactly.
Fuck out of here.
Your Black friend's tired. There are people like Rachel Cargill that are out there and they're talking, and those are the people that are out there to educate. Not every single one of your Black friends has that. Like, I'm worried about my boyfriend driving 3 hours to see his parents and hoping he doesn't get pulled over because Texas is racist. I don't want to sit down and talk to you about it at lunch, and I don't want to talk to you or tell you good job in my DMs. I have other things to worry about.
And we're not on the other side. We're still in the thick of this shit. So thank you very much. Luckily, I mean, that sounds terrible for you, Eden. Luckily, those messages to me have not been from people I actually know in my real life. So I thank God for that, because that would just add another layer of ridiculous bullshit that I don't need right now. But yeah, the nerve.
I remember there's a TikTok, and it was like every black person's phone from their white friends they haven't talked to in 2 months, and it's just bling, 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 bling. Like, yep. I'm so sorry. Are you okay? Want to talk about it? Like, no, yeah. I do not want to talk about it. And also, if you're a black person listening to this, your boundaries. You are allowed to have boundaries. Mm-hmm. I had, as much as I love, I can think of four exactly that text me, and I text them all the same thing. I love you, but I do not want to get together and talk about this. It does not sound like a good time to me. Like, and I have no problem doing that. And if they are your friends, they will hear that, understand why, and be okay with it.
Absolutely. Like, it makes me cringe so much to see black people bending over backwards to try to educate their racist in-laws or, you know, the girl they went to high school with or whatever. I just, yeah, boundaries. You don't have to do this work. I don't have my in-laws on my social media for this exact reason. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to have to deal with it. And you don't have to. Life is hard enough. There, for the person that is open and curious and wants to make a difference, there are countless numbers of resources that you can use to educate yourself. And I would, you know, if that's something you're open to, I mean, what's the first thing everybody does when they want to learn more about something? They start to go to Google. They start to, you know, bookmark resources that they can utilize to kind of help them understand. So the people that want to learn are smart enough to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Audible.com/eating. Get yourself a free month and a free book. They have a whole section called anti-racism on Audible. You can pick any of the books in that section and listen for free.
And that's the plug.
And I don't even get anything from that code. I just want you to listen.
And I think other things that you can do as an ally, as somebody who's looking for support or education, is to find black people and pay them. There are plenty of black people doing the work on the internet through educational courses or lectures or writings, webinars. There's so much. Eden and I teach. There are ways that you can support us through yoga if you're looking for that angle. But listen to black people. Like, you know what I mean? Like, there were white people doing the work too and probably doing a fine job, but everything you've heard has come from white people if you're in this position. Lift black voices, and if, you know.
Yeah. I remember doing a few stories just talking about the police and how the system isn't broken, and talking about different black people through history that people didn't know about. And people are like, why didn't I hear any of this in my history books? And it's like, well, because we were never intended to be a part of this country's history. We were intended to be labor forever. We weren't supposed to be free. That's why you didn't hear this. And I know, because I lived in a predominantly white area, and my mom didn't want me to become whitewashed. When kids were going out, my mom say you have to read a portion of your encyclopedias before you go out. I had black encyclopedias growing up where it taught about black history from school age all the way up through high school, where I had to learn my history because they don't teach it in books. And that's important.
Yeah, it's important to understand that the education we received in this country is not gospel. It's been there's sugar's been sprinkled on it. It's been whitewashed and fancified. And when you start to understand that the foundation of everything that you've learned, you know, if you grew up in this country, is through a very narrow, white, male, cisgendered Christian lens, like, you start to kind of, like I said, you can't unsee it once you start to pick that apart and understand the fabric in which this, like, society was weaved from. You become enraged and you want to do something about it.
Yeah. And I think everyone just thinks, oh, slavery wasn't that bad. Like, they had to work, but they had houses. But you don't know all of the history of things that happened, like breeding people and selling their children and using their children for alligator bait and cutting off people's genitals. It wasn't just operating on people without anesthesia. It wasn't just go do textiles, go pick cotton. It was so much more than that. Using people for sex slaves, like all kinds of crazy shit, like that you will never ever see in your history book. So slavery wasn't that bad, is, or it was so long ago, is bullshit, because modern day slavery, half of your favorite products are made by prison labor, which are Black people that are over prosecuted. So slavery is still happening today, and you're just not educated. And I acknowledge that that's probably not even your fault, because you thought you were being educated in school, but there's just so much more to this story than most people know. But Black people, most Black people grew up knowing it because our parents want us to know our history.
Oh, my mom, my mother, not my grandma or my great-grandma, my mother went to a segregated school, and she clearly remembers, like, the first year that her school wasn't segregated. And it was like some kind of a pilot test. It wasn't like, so like, this wasn't very long ago, people. That's all I'm trying to say.
Yeah. My grandma, she was a nurse. She retired. She was doing home health. And like, she was taking care of this woman that was 5 years younger than her in home health. And my grandma, she was 12 years old when segregation ended. So it means that this woman she was taking care of was just, like, out of high school, maybe, at that same time. And since then, until now, that woman is still racist, and she's only 5 years younger than my grandma. My grandma walked into her house, and she says, she sits up straight in her chair and says, "I'm from Andyce, Texas, where they hang the N-words from the trees." And my grandma's like, this woman can't even wipe her own ass, but she can still remember to be racist. And you know who that woman is? She's someone's grandma. She's someone's mother. She's someone's great grandma. And she's still alive. So it's not like it was all of these people. Oh, they're all gone. They're all dead. All the racist people. The last racist person alive shot Martin Luther King, and then he killed himself. And you have you seen that meme where they're like, slavery right. was bad, yeah. but then Abraham Lincoln fixed it. And then Martin Luther King marched peacefully, and Malcolm X was too mad. And then the last racist person shot Martin Luther King, and then he died. So now everyone's happy. That's not how it's happening. People are still alive that are very racist, and that shit trickles down their family tree like poison. So if this woman that can't even wipe her own goddamn ass has the audacity to be racist, what do you think she has the audacity to say around the Thanksgiving dinner table when her granddaughter is hot for a little Black boy?
Yeah. And also there's levels to this racism, right? There's like this overt racism, this covert racism. There's like the racism you don't even realize is there in your head. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think.
And just to speak on the things that have happened in your state, Black people have never and will never fucking hang themselves from trees.
In fucking public.
Ever.
It's so funny that you mentioned that. I was speaking with somebody on social media about one of the most recent cases of that happening. And her thing was like, oh, well, you have to understand there's a lot of stuff going on, especially in the Black, so this white lady, especially in the Black community. You know, people, the suicide rate is high anyway. My brother hung himself. And I was just like, oh, okay. I understand that. Did your brother hang himself from a tree? Yes. Yeah. Yes. From a tree in front of City Hall? Oh, no, it was in his backyard. Okay, thanks. Thanks.
Yeah.
Sorry. Sorry that happened to you.
That's called a lynching. And It's just like, so like that woman said, I'm from Andes, Texas. Like, there are so many parts in Texas. Like, my mom was raised in Smithville, Texas for a lot of her youth. And it was fucking racist, even way after segregation. And I remember my grandparents coming to Colorado to pick me up, to bring me back to Texas for the summer, and hearing things like, you'll get a DWB here.
Driving while black?
Uh-huh. Or why do you know that, Jessica?
Oh, because I've been... I've been pulled over recently mm-hmm. for no
or
reason.
Or this is a no N-word town.
Right.
Don't you go a mile over the speed limit yeah. or you'll end up in jail. There's a town between Austin and my grandparents' house called Florence. And everyone knows black people don't even stop for gas in Florence. I grew up hearing that. So even now, if I'm low on gas, I'll go on Errand of Prayer until I get into Georgetown because I'm not stopping in Florence. Like, that's, people don't make this shit up.
And on that note.
Remember how this started off as like a, oh, it started off kind of light. And then by the end, I'm a sailor.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like, yeah. I'm going to dial back the cussing because I've obviously rubbed off on you, sweetly laden.
Oh, you haven't met Sonia. That's my mother.
Yeah.
I'm...
One day.
I'm her.
One day.
Yeah. So, America's racist. There shouldn't have had to be a protest in what, 19 countries or something in 50 states in order to get justice for one black man's murder. There shouldn't still be police officers walking free for murdering a woman in her sleep. Police officers shouldn't be injecting young black men with fucking ketamine, basically eye shot from their homes. This is all bullshit.
We shouldn't
Black people don't hang themselves from trees. The end.
We shouldn't be testing a vaccine in Africa.
When they have much lower rates than America. It's... Yeah.
I'm tired. Are you tired?
I'm tired. Yep. I'm tired. That's the end. We're tired.
Until next time.
Until next time, when we will probably be equally as tired. Thank you guys for listening. We love you guys. We really do. Everyone that listens, we love you. And we know that you're the woke crew. So.
And thanks for listening to our unorganized ranting. Somehow yeah. It seems to come together.
Yeah. And hundreds of you guys listen, so we're thankful for that.
All right, until next time.
All right, bye, y'all.
Bye.